With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Ongoing market volatility and all the political noise leading up to November's midterm elections can create some confusion for investors and those wanting to get in the investing game. We'll clear things up in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. The number of U.S. households without a bank account fell to 6.5% last year. The FDIC says the decline in so-called unbanked American households can be attributed to what it calls improvements in the socioeconomic circumstances. Lower-income households and households that are less educated have higher rates of being unbanked or underbanked. A person classified as underbanked has an account at an insured firm but also uses financial services outside the traditional banking system, such as payday loans or check cashing services. In the Wall Street Journal, Real Estate Bureau reports that shareholder activist William Ackman is in contract to buy a penthouse on New York's Upper West Side for close to its asking price of $22.5 million. The property was formerly owned by the late author Nancy Friday, who wrote books on female sexuality. She assembled various units in the building, including one from her neighbor, the performer and composer Peter Allen. The journal says the units could be combined into a 13-room, 4,200-square-foot space with a 3,200-square-foot terrace. The room has barrel-vaulted redwood ceilings and a secret room, accessible by pressing on a hidden panel in a decorative column. Ackman, who was the founder of Pershing Square Capital Management, last year bought two units in a nearby building for a combined $22 million. After several months of nearly straight upward climb by the stock market, October has brought very choppy waters, with broad sell-offs coupled with wild swings. What's the best move for investors when Wall Street is so uneasy? We're joined by Kate Warren, investment strategist at Edward Jones. So, Kate, you don't see the current dip and instability on Wall Street as unusual.
No, I actually think this is a return to normal market volatility. It's certainly been a little more of a surprise than I think many investors were expecting, because the day-to-day volatility has been higher. But this is very much in line with what we've seen historically, where there have been 3 or 4, 5% pullbacks every year and one correction or 10% pullback on average every year. So think of this as just markets adjusting, getting back to a normal level of equity market volatility.
And because the Dow, for one, has been so high, if you get a larger percentage drop than in previous years or in previous decades, it's not as precipitous a drop.
Well, what we're seeing is multiple hundred points a day. And I think what people don't realize is a 1% move in the Dow is about 300 points. So those numbers look really big, but they actually aren't much in terms of how much the market is really moving. And I think that's important to put into perspective.
So you see the constant threat and implementation of tariffs as a wild card. Could that change your outlook in terms of the market going forward?
Well, so far, what we've had is lots of tariffs announced, and not many of them have actually been implemented, even with the $200 billion in tariffs that were implemented a few weeks ago. So I think investors need to put that in perspective and realize that we will see slightly higher prices in the U.S. We will see slightly slower U.S. economic growth as a result. But so far, that's all been something that's pretty small. If we continue to see an escalation of tariffs or a bigger trade war with other countries, especially China, I think we could see a more significant impact. And that's really what we're concerned about. We don't expect it. We do think this is more of a negotiating strategy, but I think investors need to keep in mind that that's a risk out there.
So in terms of the current tariffs landscape, which is more threats than action, you recommend against knee-jerk reactions to that specifically?
That's correct. And I think the investors need to keep in mind that while tariffs sound scary, it simply raises prices either for company inputs. And in this quarter's earnings, we're hearing more companies talk about how their costs have gone up as a result of tariffs, or it's directly higher prices at the store. And consumers do need to be aware of the fact that we'll see some prices rise. That's not terrible news, but it's something to prepare for as we're all seeing a little bit higher prices. And I think that's a risk for long-term investors, because a little bit higher inflation means you need to be sure you're prepared with rising income over time.
And the current interest rate escalation we've seen, which has been 8 increases over the past three to five years, that's been expected. That's been baked into the market. And if this interval of rates increases continues, that's fairly expected also.
Well, certainly, it's not a surprise that the Federal Reserve is raising short-term interest rates since they were kept at zero for such a long time and everyone was concerned about that. I think, though, that whenever we see rates increase, it leads investors to start reassessing the future. And that's really part of what's happening with this volatility as well. So short-term interest rates, we do expect to continue to rise slowly over time as the Fed tries to just get policy back into a more normal range. The surprise this time has been that long-term interest rates, which are really tied to auto loans and mortgage rates, haven't risen as much as short-term interest rates. They have picked up some, and that's part of the reason we've seen the higher volatility here in October. That's likely to continue as well, although we don't see a sharp increase in either short-term or long-term interest rates.
All right, so let's look ahead to the next couple of weeks. You have some advice for investors that is very timely for the middle of October, and that is don't mix politics and investing. There's a lot of political noise out there, a lot of discourse as we get closer to the midterm elections. That should not, in your opinion, impact people's investing activities.
That's correct. And I think many investors and certainly many voters think about the midterm elections as something that could make a huge difference either in their portfolios or in the direction of the country. That may be correct, but it turns out that the stock market has risen under all political combinations in Washington, and the economy has grown under all political combinations. Now, there are differences, so don't take this as some comment that says elections don't matter. They actually matter a lot. But as your investment portfolio grows over time, it's going to do okay regardless of what happens. It may just be a little faster or a little slower. What we think in particular is if you're invested, you need to stay invested because it turns out that midterm election years tend to have pretty good market returns in November and December, better than average in all years. And more importantly, if you're sitting on the sidelines, don't let the election uncertainty and the worries about what might happen keep you from putting money to work.
And I guess that this is the embodiment of a note that was in Edward Jones' research that the market is more powerful than politics.
Absolutely. When you look at what drives stock prices over time, it's not politics. It certainly can cause short-term uncertainty, but it really is the underlying fundamentals of economic and earnings growth. And again, those look positive to us today, and that's why we'd say use the volatility we're seeing to add quality stocks at lower prices. Make sure you're building a better diversified portfolio, and don't take this as some sign that the news ahead is bad. We just think short term, markets are returning to their normal type of volatility.
All right. That is Kate Warren, investment strategist at Edward Jones, here in our studio with us. Kate, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.